John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. When my generation was growing up, we were largely driven by pain. It hurt more than I was willing to bear if I took something which was not mine and got caught, and as a result I was persuaded to not steal. Not because I had respect for anyone's stuff, but because it would really hurt if I did. For me, the pain of shame for not making good grades was larger than the pain of indifference. In other words, it hurt more for me to bring home poor grades than it was to be indifferent to my poor academic performance. The pain of getting caught lying far outweighed the pain of knowing I was not honest. In other words, I didn't lie because it hurt to get caught, not because I appreciated being honest. Everything in my young life was always a measurement in pain. Not in love, and I think most all of us in the body of Christ are in a similar predicament. We typically respond to pain. But really, you have very little reference to how to respond to love. Friends, when it hurts too much to stay the same, we will change. And when it hurts too much to change, we will stay the same. The common words in that which jump out to me are hurt and change. Either way, it's a study in pain response rather than love response. We go the speed limit largely because of the potential of the pain of getting caught, getting a speeding ticket, which costs us money for the court fine and the car insurance rate increase. It hurts more to pay the fines than it did to restrict our speed, so we go the speed limit. Sometimes we decide to endure pain rather than doing the right thing. The criminal mind is the opposite of righteousness. The criminal mind has weighed the pain of denying itself and found in favor of evil with the verdict that the penalty is worthy of it. It would rather endure the pain of being caught because the thrill of evil is more delicious and, to them, the penalty is small compared to the thrill of transgression and sin. Proverbs 1:15-16. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. And yes, there are people like that. For example, I've met people who would rather lie than tell the truth, even when the truth would be better. The thrill of lying and getting one over on others is too delicious to resist. Now, some might say that Jesus believed it was worse to deny God than it was to deny this world. But I don't believe that. I believe Jesus responded to love, not pain. He loved his Father more than he wanted to avoid the rejection of this world. He loved the preferences and standards of God more than fearing that the people around him might call him names and even illegally hold court at night to find him guilty of what he did not do. He did what he did because he loved the Father. Jesus loved life far more than he feared death. John 12:25. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If you love your godless life in this world more than you love the life in Christ, you will lose your life. And you won't know the permanent pain of your godless life until it is too late and there is no going back. You may believe in God because you fear hell, but then think. You're still being driven by pain. It's not a response to love, but a response to pain. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. When we respond to love as God intended, we are empowered to take responsibility for our lives and are encouraged to be self-sufficient with dignity and compassion. Fear and responding in fear divides our relationships, creating not vision but division. Love and responding in love unites our relationships and unifies us with God, and encountering Him has the power to transform us in ways we can hardly imagine. Encountering Jesus enhances our ability to love. In Luke 7, there is a story of a woman who came uninvited to a dinner where Jesus was the guest of honor. Scripture calls her a sinner. The Pharisee, at whose house the dinner was held, also made a mental note that this woman was a sinner, and that Jesus was allowing her near him. Yeah, let's imagine here. This uninvited and unwanted woman comes in the house, a house she would not normally go to, during all the proceedings of the evening meal, and goes straight to Jesus, where she proceeds to kneel and wash Jesus' feet with her tears and to use her own hair to dry them. She washes and kisses his feet and anoints his feet with really expensive perfumed oil. This is a response to love, not an action performed because she feared any repercussions if she didn't. Scripture doesn't say, but I really doubt anyone caught her up and threatened her, saying,
"If you don't go in there and do such and such, then we'll deny you health care, cut off your employment, expose your sin to all your peers, and send you to work in the poorhouse."
No, I think she was responding to a likely encounter with Jesus, which had probably happened in an unheard conversation somewhere prior to dinner that evening. She came into the room prepared to bow down and worship. She came to the dinner prepared to get on the floor and weep in joy as a response to forgiveness and the love of God. This was her response to love. After all this, here's the bottom line. Do you go to church because you fear being scrutinized if you don't? Stand and sing because you fear being criticized if you don't? Do you tell people about Jesus because you love them and you want them to go to heaven with us? Or is it out of fear? Because if you don't tell them, the blood will be on your hands. That's pulling that scripture out of context, you know, turning it into something like you being prosperous only if you perform well. Led by love, or driven by fear? We can either be led or driven. Which is it going to be? Now that I'm much older, I realize when I was young, I was taught how to not lie, but no one taught me how to be honest. What do you think? Thanks for listening. I'm Social Porter with Living in His Name Ministries.